Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. Looking forward to a good conversation this hour, and I want to encourage you to, whatever you got going on, that you can just find maybe a quiet place to listen. You'll be, I think, challenged and hopefully redirected and encouraged as we go along the way. I do want to say before we get started, Ted, we've got Susie Larson is going to be doing a special online study coming up during the Lenten season called Your Sacred Yes, based on her book, Your Sacred Yes, Trading Life-Draining Obligation for Freedom, Passion, and Joy. And you can sign up online for that.
Yeah, do that at myfaithradio.com. It's one of the main things on our main page. Click on that. Starts February 8th, so just a little more than a week away.
Yeah, so you got a chance to sign up for that, and then you'll be able to follow along and some great resources and video to be a part of that. Now, Ted, I'm thinking you've got, about 20 years married?
Yeah, right? May it'll be 20.
Yeah, going on 40 for me.
All right.
But, I think all of us, marriages are a journey, and it's a path, and there are times when we can maybe wander off the path, and there may be people, in fact, I'm sure that there are people listening right now that are on a path in their marriage where, one or the other is heading a direction that could lead to disillusion of a marriage, infidelity, those things. We're going to hear from a couple today that turns out they took some wrong turns in the path, and it nearly destroyed their lives. But God was gracious and refined them and brought them back. In fact, they've, out of their experience, have started a ministry called Refine Us Ministries in hopes of changing the church by sharing their story of marriage, ministry, failure, and loss. Now, let me introduce Justin and Tricia Davis. They returned to ministry in 2009 following a four-year journey of restoration. After successfully planting their first church, Justin had an affair with a staff member who is also Tricia's best friend, and for 2 months their marriage was on life support. And over the next several months, they found grace, love, and redemption for their hearts and their marriage, and out of that has come a powerful ministry, and they've written about it and more about Beyond Ordinary, which is the name of their book. It's from Tyndale, Beyond Ordinary, When a Good Marriage Just Isn't Good Enough. And we're going to find out about some of the dangers of the ordinary marriage. And I just want to encourage you, if you were in a marriage situation now and you're feeling there's some ordinariness there, you want to stay tuned for today's conversation. Justin and Tricia, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I want to, we've sort of, given people a little tease about the story, so I'm just going to jump right in. Tricia, I want to start with you. When did you first learn of Justin's infidelity, and what did you do next?
It was a typical Sunday for us. We met in Bible college and fell in love with each other and fell in love with ministry. And so here we were planning the church, and it was just a typical Sunday morning. Justin was preaching, and I happened to be leading worship that morning. And, we both knew we were not on the same page. I think that for many of us, when we're struggling in our marriage relationship, we know that things are drifting to a dark place, but it's usually takes something that like wakes us up or breaks us to get our attention to really the state of our marriages. And Jeff and I were no different. I mean, we knew we weren't doing well, but we were just going through the motions that I think many of us go through. And so we got through Sunday services, and I came home, and we had small children at the time, so I was laying down to take a nap with our youngest son, and Justin came into our bedroom and just said, we need to talk. I've got something to share with you. And he wasn't in a posture of being kind or broken. It was more of matter of fact that you just need to know this because I'm going to start living my life. And he just simply said, you know, I'm not in love with you anymore. I don't want to be in ministry. I don't even know if I want to follow God anymore. I'm having an affair. It's with your best friend, and I want out of this marriage.
That would be a life-rocking word. Justin, take us back maybe from that moment. Where was the point where you knew you couldn't keep that a secret? Or, you know, did you, as Tricia said, this was just something where, you know, you've decided you're heading down the wrong path and, you know, ministry and family didn't matter anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think even hearing Trish, you know, share the story, I wish the scenario was different. You know, I wish it was a confession of remorse, and I wish it was a confession of repentance. It was just a confession of resignation. I think when Trish and I got married, we were awesome at fighting for each other. And then over the next 10 years of our marriage, we became experts at fighting with each other. And at this point in our marriage, you know, 10 years in, I was just done fighting. And so, you know, if you get to a dark place in your life, if you've ever gotten to a dark place where you've allowed sin to really not just entertain your heart, but be camped out there, you have to divorce yourself emotionally from the damage that you're doing those that you love and the damage that you're doing to yourself. And I had just blocked myself off emotionally from the choices that I was making. I guess I had a sense of entitlement that I felt like I deserved better. And Trish wasn't, in my mind, capable of giving me the marriage that I felt like I deserved. And so it was a relationship that obviously was a longstanding friendship with the couple who was involved in the affair. But the actual inappropriate relationship really only lasted about 3.5 or 4 weeks. And so it wasn't one of those, you know, longstanding hiddenness things. There was a lifestyle of hiddenness on my part that went way beyond this, you know, this relationship. But it wasn't necessarily about coming clean. It was just about being done. And so I made the confession and not necessarily to reconcile our marriage, but to get out.
You did in fact, get out. And Tricia, and you went through, as you talk about, a couple months of life support. Just talk about that period of time. What sustained you during that time? You know, what did you do? What kind of counsel did you get?
I think when you hit rock bottom in that kind of way, it's the worst experience and it's the best experience, because I had been a Christian my whole adult life. In my world, not that it made me special, but I thought, man, God has to have some kind of favor on me that I've dedicated my whole life to him in ministry, and ministry is hard. And, you know, prior to the affair, God and I had been in this longstanding dialogue, how at some point in our 10 years of marriage, in 10 years of ministry at the time, that even the church, the Bride of Christ, felt like a mistress, that I was competing for Justin's time and attention with the church. And so now that there was an actual physical mistress, those days were, you know, I just could not hit more rock bottom. And I wasn't just heartbroken and furious with Justin. I was heartbroken, fierce with God. And I think for many of us, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, if you're anything like me, I was just trying to figure it out on my own for so long, and I was following God and I was doing all the right things, but I wasn't really inviting God in to transform my heart. So by the time the affair happened, I was so bitter and resentful in our marriage that I really thought, I was convinced that if people really knew the real Justin, then I could go on living my life. And so now the truth was out, and the truth didn't set me free. The truth didn't bring healing. And it was a point in my life personally, beyond my marriage, my marital status, that I wanted to be different. Like, I was desperate. Like, I did not want to stay in the insanity of being bitter and resentful, regardless if I was going to be single in the future or if our marriage was going to work. And, in those days, and what I loved about reflecting about that time is that God, our circumstances and our sinful choices never negate the character of God. And God loved me, you know, yesterday when I thought I was this great pastor's wife, and he was loving me in this moment. And he was loving me as I was challenging him and just kind of shaking my fist, you know, just angry that I had sacrificed so much for what? You know, 10 years of ministry and marriage to really now be looking at my three small kids and having no idea what's going to happen in our life. And I wish I could say that I was like, you know, pull myself up by the bootstraps and God has me. I wasn't. I mean, I was a hot mess. But even in those dark days, God was so faithful and he was so near, and every step of the way provided kind of what I was going to do that next day. And so thankfully, I went into a counselor's office, and, you know, I say all the time, just because someone's a counselor doesn't mean they're a good one. Like, you really have to fight for a good counselor. But God's grace, God gave me an amazing counselor, and it was really through the power of prayer and just the power of, like, I've cut nothing else. I've lost everything. But at the same time, you know, rock bottom is still solid surface to stand. So at least I have that, you know. And so just going through a counselor and really leaning into what he was asking us to do, and then surrendering every day to say, God, whatever you have next. And for us in our story was, you know, trying to figure out, how do you rebuild a marriage after trust has been broken?
We'll ask that question and get some answers or some a fresh perspective, perhaps, with Justin and Tricia Davis. They founded Refine Us Ministries to ignite a movement in the church and among pastors and church planters to build healthy marriages and families. And they consider the resurrection of their marriage to be a great gift. Feel it a privilege to use Refine Us to help others find that same healing. They've written a powerful book, tells their story, and gives some great encouragement called Beyond Ordinary, When a Good Marriage Just Isn't Good Enough. We'll hear more from Justin and Tricia Davis in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
Maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together?
18 past the hour, talking today with Justin and Tricia Davis about the real story of their marriage, their experience, the infidelity, the refining, the rebuilding of trust, God's work in their lives. They've written a book, told the story, and told some wonderful insights about what marriage really is all about and God's designs, called Beyond Ordinary, When a Good Marriage Just Isn't Good Enough. And Justin, maybe we'll give you a chance to kind of, and Tricia, you can jump in as well, but go back kind of to the early days of your marriage. As you've indicated, you know, this was 10 years of marriage and 10 years of ministry. So God had ignited something in your life about serving him, right? That until it kind of came undone.
Yeah, I mean, I think from an early age, I just felt like, you know, God had called me into ministry. And when Trish and I met in Bible college, there was just this instant connection between us personally and emotionally, but even more so spiritually. I just felt like, you know, that ministry is something that we could do together. We could pour our lives in, and we just had this belief that we could change the world through the local church. And so we got married early. We got married, we were 20 and 21 years old, and just kind of grew up together in the church. I think that was one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest problems that we began to recognize after, you know, the affair was, you know, we were separated for 2 months. We didn't talk for the first 10 days of our separation, and God used that time and that experience to begin to break my heart and really desire to have a different marriage, and not with this other person, but with Trish. I wanted to reconcile our marriage, and I wanted our marriage to be different and whole and brand new. And so I started going to counseling as well. But one of the things we recognized early on in counseling, I remember being with our oldest son at the house I was staying at, and I told him, I said, you know, he asked me if Mom and I were going to get divorced. He said, are you and Mom going to get divorced? And I said, I don't know. I said, but I do know I'm not going to be the pastor of the church anymore. And he just slipped out. I mean, he just said, you have to be the pastor of the church. I'm the pastor's son. Like, you have to be the pastor. And it was just this realization for me that I had spent the first 10 years of our marriage building my identity around what I did for God rather than who I was in God. And it was just a realization that just because you do ministry doesn't necessarily mean that your heart is always connected to God's heart. And so there was a really defining moment for us as a family. Not just, we didn't want to just fix our marriage. We really wanted to kind of, I guess, deconstruct the identities and the preconceived notions and really the baseline of our entire relationship with Christ to be able to go back and rebuild that rather than try to rebuild our family or rebuild our ministry. Because without rebuilding our relationship with Christ, none of that other stuff was going to last or matter anyway.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, were there some cracks in the foundation that you ignored, you didn't notice, or maybe you didn't think mattered?
Yeah. Anyway, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we did the typical, we try to do date nights and try to do all the stuff that people put on Instagram and Facebook, you see the best parts of them. We did that stuff, before social media even existed. But, I had policies where I wouldn't, ride in a car with a female by myself. I wouldn't, counsel a female behind a closed door. Like, we had all of the things in place outwardly looking in that it would take to protect yourself from infidelity. There was just hidden parts of my life. I was sexually abused when I was a kid. I struggled with pornography for the first 10 years of our marriage and never disclosed any of that stuff. And so if you can't hide wounds for your entire life and think that you're going to be able to have healthy relationships. And so we say all the time, we had the best marriage that we could build given our sense of brokenness. And there were parts of our hearts that were broken that we didn't even know were broken until we, until we crashed and burned and then began, the process of counseling. So I think that there was this outward facade, or not even a facade, but there was this outward desire and outward effort to try to build a healthy marriage. The problem was the interior of our soul and hearts and really our life together was eroding. And I don't think either of us, until it crashed and burned, I don't think either of us were aware of the dangerous aspect of our marriage relationship until it actually imploded.
Tricia, just give us some of your thoughts about, looking back over those 10 years and maybe the things that you look back on now and say, we were ripe for this kind of situation to happen.
Yeah, I think the best gift our counselor has ever given us is he told us that you can't heal a wound that you don't give a name to. And so Justin and I were fighting all of these wounds that we weren't naming, and they were just becoming toxic. And so our first year into marriage, I grew up with great parents, and they didn't know the Lord when I was younger, but they came to faith when I was like in elementary school. And so I had great memories of my parents being married. And now a year into my marriage, my parents were getting divorced after 25 years. And I didn't realize that the unforgiveness that I had for my dad's choices and their marriage ending, I was projecting on Justin. And so I was almost treating Justin as if he had already had an affair when he didn't, because it was this weird, I think for us as women, like, we love our husbands so much, we love our kids so much, that then we become so, controlling of the situation, because not because we're controlling people, but because we want to make sure we don't lose what we love. And so I was very controlling of how we raised our kids and what date night should look like. Like, I would just sweat the small things, and I didn't realize I was doing it. And what it was conveying is, I don't respect Justin. At the same time, I knew that there was something always off in our marriage relationship, and I couldn't figure it out. And, you know, the Bible talks about that when you don't have words to pray, that the Holy Spirit goes before you. Scripture says, with groans, there are no words. And so for the first 10 years of our marriage, I would just feel that groaning in my spirit, like something is not right, not realizing that Justin was secretly struggling with pornography. And so you just had this whirlwind of dysfunction hidden behind the background, some of it hidden on purpose and some of it hidden that we didn't even know we were hiding, that it was all under this umbrella of us being in ministry. And we have this formula that if we loved God and we loved each other, then, I don't know, marriage would just work itself out. And then here we were 10 years into marriage, and we, you know you're in a really dangerous place in your marriage relationship where you've just lost the will to fight. You don't want to fight anymore. You're just kind of done. And that's where Justin and I, that's where we got to a place of, and you don't wake up and say, I want to have an affair. Most of us, we start to drift in the little things in our marriage relationship that eventually become big things. And if you were to ask me that perspective 10 years ago when the confession happened, I would not have been able to tell you that perspective. That perspective has come through years of counseling and figuring out and recognizing that ministry, the bride of Christ, did not destroy my marriage, but rather who Justin and I became in ministry did. And so, you know, it's principles of forgiveness and truth telling that we have to choose even now, 20 years into marriage, every day, because we know if we don't offer forgiveness daily, if we don't speak truth daily, then it doesn't matter if we wrote a book, it doesn't matter if we're back in ministry, all of us still have the ability to drift in our marriage relationship. The difference with us today is now we know the consequences.
We're going to talk more with Justin and Tricia Davis when you take a break coming up in just a minute. They've written about their story in a wonderful book called Beyond Ordinary, When a Good Marriage Just Isn't Good Enough. The question is, how safe is your marriage? Well, the biggest threat to any marriage isn't infidelity or miscommunication. The greatest enemy is ordinary. Ordinary marriages lose hope. They lack vision. And it's a short step from I do to I'm done in ordinary marriage. Justin and Tricia Davis are working to change that, and they'll give you some encouragement, some hope in the moments ahead. They founded a ministry called Refine Us Ministries. You can find out more at refineus.org, refineus.org, and encourage you to pick up a copy of the book as well from Tyndale called Beyond Ordinary. Justin and Tricia Davis, church planters. And we'll share more of their story in just a couple minutes. You may want to join the conversation. If you'd like to remain anonymous, you certainly can do that as well. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. You might have a question based on what you've heard so far. Wonder how can trust be rebuilt? We'll get to that and more in the moments ahead. 877-933-2484. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Are sufficient on our own. We need the Lord. Powerful music and a powerful conversation today with Justin and Tricia Davis. They returned to ministry in 2009 following a four-year journey of restoration. After successfully planting their first church, Justin had an affair with a staff member. And for several months, their marriage was on life support. And over the next several months, they found grace, love, and redemption for their hearts and their marriage. And they founded a ministry called Refine Us. You can find out more at refineus.org, and they've since written a book to tell more of their story called Beyond Ordinary, When a Good Marriage Isn't Good Enough. And Justin and Tricia, I guess both of you just react to, and you mentioned truth-telling. Justin, no, this became an issue that played a part in the, why your marriage nearly broke apart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one of the things that I've realized, you know, over the last 10 years is that we don't compromise truth in our relationships because we want to be liars. We compromise truth in relationships because we want to be loved. And most of us have a pain quotient that we attach to each of our relationships, and we think, if that person knew the truth about me, they wouldn't love me. And so we offer different doses of truth to each relationship based on how deep that relationship is. You know, there's certain relationships that you offer partial truth about yourself. You offer the best parts of yourself to probably your coworkers or people that know you on a social level. And then, you know, family members, they get more of you. And so I had this belief that if Trish really knew the truth about me, that she wouldn't love me and our marriage would be over. And so in an effort to save our marriage, which is kind of ironic, but in an effort to save it, I just withheld truth. And what I didn't realize is that I was killing intimacy a little at a time, because the word intimacy means to be fully known. And so God's greatest desire for us is to be fully known and fully loved. And so every time we compromise truth in a relationship, we place a lid on the amount of intimacy that relationship's capable of experiencing. And so we were going to counseling. We started going to counseling 4 days a week. And so we tell couples all the time, if you feel like your marriage is in trouble, our counselor wanted to see us 4 days a week. That's how messed up we were. So there's hope for you. But we were going to counseling 4 days a week. And so we, you know, after 30 days, we'd gone to 16 counseling sessions. And our counselor's like, you know, you guys are making a lot of progress. Trust is starting to be rebuilt. And so, Justin, if you've left anything out, now's the time to share it. Because unconfessed sin always leads to repeated behavior. And so if you don't want to be back here in 3 months or 3 years or 13 years, everything needs to come out. And I knew in my heart that I was withholding truth. And so I just made a decision at that point that I was going to be more concerned about my heart than I was about my marriage. And I was going to come clean with everything. And that's when I confessed the pornography and the sexual abuse. And I just said to Trish, you know, if you want a divorce, you can have everything. This isn't about me fixing our marriage anymore. This is about me, for the first time, living in a right relationship with Christ. And an act of grace and mercy, unlike anything I've experienced, she said, now we can start over. Now we can begin again, because I finally know the real you. And that wasn't the finish line by any stretch. That was really the actual starting line of, you know, of rehabilitation and restoration in our marriage relationship. But it was the first time really in my life that I can remember that I felt completely known. And then I also felt completely loved. I was capable of experiencing God's grace in its fullest because I was finally honest with myself about my sin. And I think that I'd always felt bad and always repented of the sin, but never really confessed it. And just that act of confession began to bring healing to my heart and restoration to our marriage. And it was a long road, but it's one that that I wouldn't trade for anything.
Trisha, there are you know, people listening now that are thinking, Trisha, how could you, with this truth-telling missing in some ways, how could you begin to even hope to rebuild trust after, this terrible break in your relationship? Talk about rebuilding trust and what you had to do to, you and Justin together, to make that happen.
Yeah, well, before I could trust again, I needed to learn how to forgive first. And, you know, forgiveness is something that you offer for free, but trust is earned. And just kind of failing along the way of just trying to understand forgiveness. And, you know, Jesus says in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, he talks about, you know, that we should forgive each other not seven times, but 70 times seven. And I believe that it wasn't a mathematical equation, but it was really Jesus saying that forgiveness is a process. That when we recognize that forgiveness sets us free. Now, forgiveness oftentimes gets confused with trust, but they are two very different things. And what forgiveness says is that I'm going to show you grace, and the forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, sets you free. It doesn't excuse the behavior that was done towards you or the wound that was done towards you, but it prevents that wound, it prevents that person from destroying who God called you to be. And so when we understand the process of forgiveness that Christ has given us, the Bible says when we've been forgiven much, we love much. And so we had to figure out how to walk through forgiveness, not only me forgiving Justin, but Justin learning to forgive himself. And I think as we walked that road, we realized that trust is earned. So what does it mean to rebuild trust? And, you know, people ask us all the time, you know, our story is becoming so common that usually people, especially on the radio, as soon as they hear that that's our story, there's just this temptation to turn it off, because it's like, who is having a successful marriage? You know, why is all these affairs, it can feel very daunting in lifeless. But I want people listening to remember that God designed marriage for a purpose, and not for us to feel like we're failing one another, but it's the most beautiful relationship that, you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it talks about that although Adam and his wife were both naked, neither of them felt shame. That God's vision for our marriage is for intimacy, that the vision is for us to be fully known and fully loved. And so if we want to have thriving marriages, we have to be willing to fully expose all of our heart. And for the first 10 years, both Justin and I stayed hidden. And so we were trying to have the best marriage that we could have, and it wasn't working. I think now, as the truth was out and we were learning to forgive, trust was being rebuilt because God was creating us completely new. Like, for the first time, I think in Justin's whole adult life, he wasn't hiding about being abused as a child. He wasn't carrying that wound. He wasn't hiding his struggle with pornography. We were getting help through a counselor, and we were doing the hard work of love, and now we were seeing the fruits of it. It was like Justin, I said to him, in those days, like he was rebuilding trust. He was finally becoming the man that I always thought that he was. That I was so sad that he struggled on his own for so long, because there was more damage in the hiddenness than if he would have just trusted me in the beginning to share his heart. And so the marriage we have now is what I feel is that Genesis passage where we are fully known, which is really scary because we're like still broken, messed up people. You know, even knowing all these things, we still fail each other. You know, Justin still struggles to drive, and I still, you know, struggle to cook good food. You know, there's things that we always still laugh and get on each other's nerves, but we are 100% completely known. And at the end of the day, when you know that you are fully loved and fully known, that's where trust begins to be rebuilt.
Just thinking how, you know, we all experience feelings of failure and loss. You've certainly experienced them in maybe more profound ways than others. And obviously the loss of, you know, not just only a marriage for several months, but in trust, but losing your ministry as well. Talk about, you know, the heartbreak of that time of saying, you know, God called me to live for Him, and I've thrown it all away.
Yeah, I think it's interesting looking back on it how gracious God was even in that season, because I think sometimes we misrepresent God, and we think if something bad is happening to us, then God is punishing us. And if something good is happening to us, then God is happy with us, where God's character isn't, and his ways aren't like human ways. And so I got out of ministry, obviously, and started working as a waiter at PF Chang's, and because I'd never done anything other than ministry. So I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing. And that was just kind of an interim thing. And God just taught me so much about humility and servanthood in that 2 month season of time. And then I was given an opportunity to work as a headhunter, which I didn't even know what that was at the time, but it was basically a recruiter for commercial banks who were looking to hire people. And it was a commission only sales job. And I started doing that and God started, you know, providing in some pretty incredible ways. But it was really a good season for us, even though we weren't in ministry, we began to, our life stopped revolving around the church, and it really started revolving around Christ. And so we had started attending a church on the other side of, we moved to the other side of town and kind of started all over. And it was a process of coming out of shame and guilt, because as a pastor, you know, our church was around 700 people at the time. So I had, after Trish and I started healing our relationship, I had to come to terms with this reality that I had damaged, you know, several hundred people and their perception of church and their perception of God. And if I let that weigh on me, I mean, it could really just, it would bring me down into some really low places. And so processing that with a counselor, going back to some people who were in leadership and seeking out their forgiveness and trying to, you know, bring reconciliation to as many of those relationships as I could. But about a year into our restoration process, I just was still in kind of a spiritual and emotional funk, emotional, definitely. And I remember we were out on a walk in our neighborhood and Trish just said, you know, I've forgiven you and God's forgiven you. It's time that you forgive yourself. And began to read a book called Abba's Child by Brennan Manning. It really allowed me to see the way that I was allowing shame to really dictate my behavior and my perception of who I am in Christ, and started to see myself again as a child of God and a son of God. And that began really the healing process for me that helped me process all of the hurt and, you know, anguish that I felt in, you know, messing up my ministry and really messing up the lives of so many other people. But it was through that process that God gave us kind of a new heart for ministry and a new vision for our life. And it didn't come quick or easy, but I think who we are now, we would not be those people had we not traveled that road.
Yeah, we've got a break coming up here in just a minute, but say a word to maybe churches, what you would advise for church leadership when they have a staff person that has moral failure. Is there a procedure or anything that you'd recommend, kind of what you've learned from your experience?
I think that go ahead, honey.
I was just going to say, I think churches tend to react in one of two ways. They're either all grace, and they're primarily all grace because they don't want people to know that a pastor has failed, or that pastor's personality is so big they don't think that they can get by without him or her, and so they react out of all grace in order to make it go away. And then there's other churches that they're all judgment. And so once you failed mortally, you're done, you're cut off, your stuff is packed, and you're, you know, severance is given and you're gone. I think both are equally damaging, not only to the family, but to the body of Christ. I think there's a biblical precedent all throughout Scripture, from David, even to Peter. You know, you can't get much more grievous sin than denying you even know Christ. And yet Peter was restored. David was restored. And so I think a lot of churches don't know how to react. And so they react out of either fear, or they react out of their own insecurity of how to handle the situation. And it ends up doing long-term damage to the family that's involved, as well as long-term damage to the church. And, you know, we've been at churches in the past where one instance of infidelity took place, it wasn't handled properly, and then, you know, four or five other staff members had inappropriate relationships, text message relationship, you know, inappropriate relationship with students. I mean, the list went on and on, and it was, you could go back to this one defining moment when it was mismanaged from the beginning, and it kind of set the church on a trajectory of not handling it right. And so I've been fortunate in that I've had a group of people that, you know, we were involved in a denomination when we planted our first church in 2002, and they, you know, suspended my license, and I've been able to go back through the process of restoration, and they we're not affiliated with that denomination anymore, but I'm out from underneath the discipline of that denomination. We've gone back to the elders of the church that we started in 2002, and that church is doing amazing things, and they're healthy, and they have a couple of campuses, but their elders laid hands on us and commissioned us back into ministry. And so I think if you're willing to do the hard work and really be humble in the process, it can be done in a way that glorifies Christ as well as builds up the body.
We want to take a quick break and come back. We've not talked a lot about, when a good marriage just isn't good enough, and there's some wonderful principles in the book Beyond Ordinary from Justin and Tricia Davis. We'll want to focus on that a little bit as well. They've been telling their story of a journey of restoration, and they have a wonderful ministry called Refine Us. You can go to refineus.org to learn more and to maybe find some help for you or someone that you know and care about. More with Justin and Tricia Davis in the moments ahead. The hour, talking with Justin and Tricia Davis. They've shared, honestly and openly about their story, about the slow fade that occurred in their own marriage, and revealing some of the mistakes they made. We spent a lot of time kind of talking about that, but they do offer hope. And Justin and Tricia, just want to give both of you an opportunity here in the next 8 minutes or so that we have left to let's talk about hopeful steps and the principles and practices that we can take to keep our marriage from not just being ordinary and to be fully known and intimate with one another. So, Tricia, maybe just start with you. What's on your heart to really encourage women today, especially who maybe had to come through a season like this with a spouse?
I mean, first of all, you're not alone. You're not the only one to what often feels like such a huge failure, that there's something wrong with you, that we live in a broken world. We are sinful people, and sometimes we just make really bad choices, and there's consequences to our choices. But to not give up, that you have a God who is fighting for you. You have a God who's not like dangling this life over you to try and figure out. He's gone before you. And so My prayer for you, if you're listening and you're in this, and maybe there's two sides to every story, but what would it look like if you started praying the prayer, God, change me, and allow God to see your husband or to see your wife the way that he sees them? And I promise you, it's a prayer that he'll answer every time, and that it is possible. It is possible. I mean, we've been married for 20 years now, and I can't explain it other than only God. Like, God's word says that he doesn't make us better versions of ourselves. He's created us new. And so just the miracle God has had on us when we've chose to be brave and tell the truth, and we've chose to fumble through forgiveness, that I can tell you, I am more in love with Justin than I've ever been. He is my best friend. I know that he has got my back, and that comes through the power of living out the vision that God has for your marriage. But you have to be willing to fight for it, because if you're waiting for your spouse to make the first move, you'll never get there. And so my prayer is that you will choose to say, God, change me and help me to see my husband, help me to see my wife like you see them. And I promise you that he will give you steps. This is the part that gets really frustrating, because if you're anything like us, especially in those dark days, I just wanted the roadmap. Like, tell me where to be, how to do it, and what the outcome will be, and I will give you 110%. But there's no five happy hops to marriage. It is it's faith. It's making each step, and it's trusting. Before you can trust your spouse, you have to choose to trust God.
That's good.
Justin, just to share some thoughts about, you know, what encourage us today is on how we can experience a marriage beyond ordinary.
Yeah, I think, you know, for so many couples, the desire is there, right? Everyone desires to have a great marriage. I think where most couples don't know, where they get lost is, how do I do that? You know, it's like, I want to be in shape, and I wish that sitting on the couch could get me in shape. If it did, I would be buff, but it doesn't. And so it takes going to the gym. And so one of the things that we've recognized in our own marriage, and one of the things that we encourage couples with, is most couples think they're several large decisions away from a great marriage, when in reality, you're just one or two small steps away. It's not these big, gigantic leaps that are going to give you a great marriage. It's daily choosing to pursue God and daily choosing to pursue your spouse. And it doesn't even take, you know, extravagant date night. It doesn't take, you know, a romantic getaway or a vacation. Those things aren't bad. But I think when we just focus on those things and we lose sight of the daily opportunities we have to invest in the person we say we love the most, maybe it's just coming home on time. Maybe it's putting the kids down to bed so that your spouse can just have a few minutes to themselves. Maybe it's, you know, filling their car up with gas. It's the little things along the way that really mean the most to us, and they add up to the big things. And so for the couple that is really just kind of, you know, coasting, or really just feeling like, okay, we live in the same house, but we're just roommates. We're not really soulmates. My suggestion is, don't try to make big, extravagant changes, right? You're not going to go from never lifting weights to going and bench pressing 500 pounds. Just do a small little thing today or tomorrow. Send a text message. Make a phone call, hire a babysitter, do the little things that will re-engage your heart and give you the encouragement and the momentum to begin to see some big changes take place.
And the bottom line is, there is hope, right? You know, we are new creations. God refines us, but we can come out stronger as a result.
Yeah, amen to that. And we, you know, one of the things we say all the time, if you think it's over, it's not over. You know, I mean,
right.
People thought that it was over when they put Jesus in the tomb. They were just setting the stage for the biggest comeback of all time. And so that resurrection power, it lives in us. And so God has the capacity and the ability to resurrect even the most broken of marriages. We have to believe it, and we have to pursue Him.
Well, you guys have encouraged us today with your story, your honesty, and the hope that you found in Christ, and encouragement that it's not over and we can take some small steps. There's wonderful resources and information available on the website, refineus.org. That's the ministry of Justin and Tricia Davis, Refine Us Ministries. You can go to refineus.org, or you can go to our website, and we'll put a link up there as well on the Connecting Faith show page, so you can find out more. Their book is called Beyond Ordinary, When a Good Marriage Just Isn't Good Enough, and it's published by Tyndale. Justin and Tricia, thank you for sharing your stories so openly and for honoring us with your time today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Blessings to you as you continue to provide this important ministry to other couples that need to know there's hope out there. If you missed part of today's program, you can always listen to it again, or maybe pass it on to a friend. All our interviews are posted online on the show page, and they're all shareable. So go to myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page to find the podcast archives. And thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.